is all, love is you. Because the sky is blue, it makes me cry. Because the sky is blue.
Sunday, June 7th, Nonfiction and the New York Citizens will be appearing at the Limelight. On Monday, June 8th, Iron Maiden and Dream Theater will be at the Ritz and the Pet Shop Boys, a concert for Lifebeat, plus top British techno DJs will be at the Roseland. And also at the Ritz on Tuesday, June 9th, The Skinny Puppy and Godbless, and Tracy Chapman will be at the Beach Theater. On Wednesday, June the 10th, Simply Red at Central Park, and Archangel will be at the Marquee. On Friday, June 12th, Babylon AD will be at the Limelight, and Peter Murphy and the Nymphs will be at the Roseland. Crosby, Stills, and Nash will also be appearing at Jones Beach. On Saturday, June 13th, Ian McCullough will be at the Ritz, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash will be at Jones Beach. June 13th and 14th, the Music Tech Expo will be at the Ramada Hotel in Manhattan. Sunday, June 14th, Melissa Etheridge and Jeffrey Gaines will be at Jones Beach, and the Grateful Dead and the Steve Miller Band will be at Giant Stadium. Tuesday, June 16th at the Limelight will be Chem Lab and Clock DBA. Wednesday, June 17th, Agnostic Front, Murphy's Law, Nuclear Assault, Lunatic, Leeway, Radix, Rights of the Accused, and Functional Idiots will all be appearing at the Palladium. And at the Academy, Screaming Trees, Saves the Toyland, and 3D. Also, Pop Will Eat Itself will be at the Limelight. Concert billboards can be heard weekdays, 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and weekends, noon and midnight. If you have any questions regarding concerts, feel free to call USB anytime at 632-6901. Once again, this is Erica on Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 WUSB.
Los Angeles. He walks again by night. Out of the fog, into the smog. Relentlessly. Ruthlessly.
I wonder where Ruth is.
Doggedly. Toward his weekly meeting with the unknown. At 4th and Drucker, he turns left. At Drucker and 4th, he turns right. He crosses MacArthur Park and walks into a great sandstone building.
Oh, my nose!
Groping for the door, he steps inside. Climbs the 13 steps to his office. He walks in. He's ready for mystery. He's ready for excitement. He's ready for anything. He's...
Nick Danger, Third Eye.
I want to order a pizza to go and no anchovies.
No anchovies? You've got the wrong man. I spell my name Danger.
What?
The makers of fantastic cigarettes, long in the leaf and short in the can, bring you another true story from the tattered casebook of Nick Danger, Third Eye. Let's join him now in the adventure we call...
Cut him off at the pass!
Let's get down to business. Uncross those beautiful stems of yours, baby. Here's the case I call number 666. It all began innocently enough on Tuesday. I was sitting in my office on that drizzly afternoon, listening to the monotonous staccato of rain on my desktop and reading my name on the glass of my office door. Regnard Kissin. My secretary lay snoring on the floor, her long, beautiful gams pinioned under the couch. I didn't hear him enter, but my nostrils flared at the smell of his perfume. Pyramid patchouli. There was only one joker in L.A. sensitive enough to wear that scent. And I had to find out who he was.
Good afternoon, Mr. Danger. I'm Rocky Rococo.
Thanks, Half Pint. You just saved me a lot of investigative work.
Maybe yes, maybe no. Do you know what this is?
I had to think for a minute. What cruel game was he playing?
That's a brown paper bag.
That's correct. Now, look inside, Mr. Danger. What do you see?
That's easy. That's a pickle.
Very good. Now, I think you're ready for this.
Why, that's nothing but a two-bit ring from a crackerback, Jocks.
I'll sell it to you for $5,000.
What kind of a chump do you take me for?
First class.
That tarnished piece of tin is worthless.
Worthless? Not to Melanie Haber.
Melanie Haber?
You may remember her as Audrey Farber.
Audrey Farber?
Susan Underhill?
Susan Underhill?
How about Betty Jo Bieloski?
Betty Jo Bieloski. I hadn't heard that name since college. Everyone knew her as Nancy. Then it all came rushing back to me like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist. It was pig night at the O Money Padme Sigma house. We had escaped from the crowd and stood trembling under the dwarf maple.
Oh, Nicky, I don't know what to say. This is the most beautiful ring I've ever seen.
Yeah, Nancy, it's really neat. It cost me $5,000.
Oh, Nicky, how can I ever repay you?
Well, gee whiz, Nancy. How about 500 down and a 36-month contract?
What?
Or you could marry me.
That's impossible, Nick. I can't marry you. I can't even tell you why. Maybe someday.
All right, Nancy. I understand. Sign here.
Oh, Nick. I'll never forgive you.
And I'll never forget you neither, Nancy. And that's why I called you today, Nancy. I mean, Mrs. Haber. Something reminded me of that time so long ago under the dwarf maples.
I don't know what prompted you to get in touch with me, but you called just in the nick of time.
You haven't lost your delicate sense of humor, have you, Nancy?
What? Think. I can't talk to you now. You have to get out here right away. My husband, it's the same old place in Santa Barbara, Nicky. Oh, hurry, Nicky. I need you.
Nancy! I slipped the ring into my nose and the receiver into my pocket and headed for the door quickly. But I'd forgotten the little man with the evil grin.
Just a second, Danger. What about my pickle?
You're lucky you still have your brown paper bag, small change.
Danger!
The first of you turns my stomach.
You'll be hearing from me again, Danger!
I headed down the hall in the opposite direction toward the fire escape. I hadn't a moment to lose.
Hey, Danger. Where's the fire?
In your eyes, Lieutenant Bradshaw.
Don't get wise with me, Peeper. You're lucky we didn't burn you on the Anselmo pederasty case.
Look, you caught him, didn't you?
Yeah, but the punk got away. No thanks to you.
Well, what brings your flat feet sniffing around here now, copper?
Just a friendly word of advice, Danger.
Yeah? What?
Don't go sticking your big nose into police business.
Sure, Lieutenant. Is that all?
No. Don't talk with your mouth full.
Okay, Bradshaw.
And don't fidget while I talk to you.
Sure,
and
Lieutenant.
Stop trucking mud across my knife,
okay.
Please.
Okay. When I hit the street, the rain had already turned L.A. into a mud river. It was a short swim down Alvarado to my convertible. I had to get to Santa Barbara in a big hurry. As I whipped onto Mulholland Drive, the lights were just twinkling on across the San Fernandino Valley. I could barely make them out through the driving rain. Then a hard right down Big Cajunga Canyon. My tires squealed as I hit several people. A right, a left, a left. Another right, a left of the body, a right, and into a gas station. Hey, Pop!
All right, hold your horses, I'm coming.
Hey, yeah?
Where am I?
You can't get there from here.
But I'm looking for the same old place.
Oh, you must mean the old same place, sonny. It's right out back. Here's the key.
4 hours later, I parked my car in the carriage house and walked up the gray gravel driveway between a line of dwarf maples toward the pillared entrance of the same mansion. It had been snowing in Santa Barbara ever since the top of the page, and I had to shake the cornstarch off my mucklucks as I lifted the heavy obsidian door knocker. Hey in there! Open up! Your door knocker fell off!
What's all this brouhaha?
Brouhaha? Wait a minute. Don't you want this door knocker?
I already have one.
But this is yours.
You see? I told you. We used to have another one, but he vanished mysteriously. All right, come in out of the cornstarch and dry your mucklucks by the fire. Let me introduce myself. I am Nick Danger.
No, let me introduce myself. I am Nick Danger.
If you're so smart, why don't you pick up your cues faster?
Are those my cues?
Yes, and they must be dry by now. Why don't you pull them up out of the cellophane before they scorch? All right, sir. May I take your hat and coat?
Yes, sir.
I assume you've come to see my mistress, Mr. Danger.
I don't care about your private life or what his name is. I've come to see Nancy... Mrs. Haber.
Mrs. Haber?
Audrey Farber.
Audrey Farber?
How about Betty Jo Bialowski?
Oh, you mean Nancy. Well, she's in the aviary studying trees. I shall return with her straight away. You may wait here in the sitting room, or you can sit here in the waiting room.
There was something fishy about the butler. I think he was a Pisces, probably working for scale. I felt a thin shiver run up my spine as I sat down on the cold marble floor. What was it about this place? The atmosphere was as phony as the Tudor balustrade that leered at me from the top of the staircase. And there she stood, radiant. All those curves showing through that flimsy burnous.
Nick?
It was Nancy running down the stairs. All the familiar sounds and smells of pig night came rushing back like a good snort of scotch. Then it struck me. 20 years later, and she still knocked me out.
Nick,
where am I?
Nick. Nick, wake up. Are you all right?
Yes.
Oh, then stop slapping me.
Nancy. What's the bird's eye lowdown on this caper? Whatever that means.
Nick, we can't talk here. We can't talk here.
What do you mean we can't talk here?
We can't talk.
Oh, you're right, we can't. What's the way you do?
Follow me. This
one. This is the bedroom. We're at the chapel now. It's soundproof, so no one can hear us.
What did you say?
I said no one can...
What?
Never mind. Follow me.
What?
You take my hand. This one. This is much better.
Yeah, pretty fancy layout you've got here, Nancy. What's this, your boudoir?
Oh, no, these are the kennels.
Putting on a dog, eh? Well, say, where are all the doggies?
They've mysteriously disappeared.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I just told you. Along with the servants. They were very attached to one another.
Where?
At the wrist and ankles.
Wait a minute. You said all the servants had disappeared.
Did I?
What about your butler?
You mean
Catherwood?
Yes, madam.
Catherwood! Oh, you startled me.
Sorry, madam.
What are you doing there on all fours?
I'm looking for my script. Why don't you just go on without me?
Listen, Nancy, I smell a rat.
So do I. I think he's got my script.
Yes, Catherwood, you look for it, all right?
All right, you, madam.
Nick, quickly, through this sacred panel.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
This is the portrait gallery.
This is the portrait.
There's an echo in here. This is the portrait gallery, Nick. It's the safest room in the mansion. No one can find us here.
All right, Nancy. Get your hands off me. What's the scoop?
Chocolate, butterscotch, or Rocky Rococo. Road.
That reminded me. How had she gotten herself involved with that slimy weasel Rococo? And how do I make my voice do this?
Oh, Nick. It all began 20 years ago with the mysterious disappearance of my husband.
You mean you were already married when I sold you that ring?
No wonder she hadn't been able to meet the payments.
What?
So that was your secret. Oh, what a sap I've been.
Oh, yes. But that night, the strangest thing happened.
That usually goes along with being just married.
My husband, Johnny, he... Oh, Nick, I want to tell you the horrible truth, the whole truth, all of it. The man behind everything.
Let me handle this, Nancy. Far out, Catherwood. Just roll a couple of bombers and leave them on the side table.
Yes, madam. Pardon me, madam. I seem to have crashed. It's been such a long exposition, you know. I'm so tired.
Catherwood, can't you see you're upsetting Nancy? Leave us alone.
Well, how much would you like, sir? 500? 1,000?
I am Scray Osterbay.
Oh, of course, sir. Ook-ook-a-chook, sir.
Isn't it?
I'm so tired I haven't slept.
All right, Nancy, go on with your story. Start with your dreadful secret.
Oh, Nick, I can't. I'm so confused.
Why don't you just hold your thumb next to your line, see, like this? Huh? This way I don't get confused and I never lose my place.
I feel faint. The whole world is spinning.
Why, that's lucky for us, Nancy. If it were flat, all the Chinese would fall off. Why, she's no fun. She fell right over. Wait a minute. Didn't I say that line on the other side of the record? Where am I? I'd better check.
Who is now?
It's okay. They're speaking Chinese. Poor Nancy. She's fainted. I'll just wrap her skirt around her head like this to keep her warm. Now I'll press her body close to mine to keep me warm.
She looked so helpless there, spread eagled on the floor. I beat the eagle off and gave her a quick mouth-to-mouth resuscitation chant. And then it struck me.
What a sap she had.
Good girl, Nancy. That doesn't hold him for a while.
Oh, poor Nicky. He's bleeding. I'll tear this strip off my petticoat.
You want to?
You tie him up with this. I'll go through his pocket.
All right. Careful. Don't wake him up.
Oh, that contract must be on him somewhere.
Audrey.
You sure?
What?
Haven't you heard the contract yet? Your time is almost up.
Rococo, you slimy blackmailer. How did you get in here? You don't have a key?
No, only half a key.
What?
I had to spit it with a sound effects man. Where is the contract, you absent-minded old...
Wait a minute. Here it is. I found it. It was taped to his leg.
Give me that. I've got it at last.
All right. Now maybe you'll leave us in peace, Rococo. Give me the negative.
Of course. Here it is.
Oh, at last. Now we're out of your evil clutches.
Dan, wait a minute. Look at this negative. It isn't us. It's an interesting approach, but it isn't us.
She's right. What are you trying to pull on me, Rococo?
Oh, my goodness. I must have sent the wrong negative to the police. I must have left yours in the car. I'll go get it.
A second, Rococo. You're not going nowhere until you've explained what you've done with that filthy piece of blackmail.
Are you threatening me? Why, you stupid toad. I ought to beat your brain out.
No, put down that pickle.
You'll never get away with this, Rococo.
Oh, yeah? Didn't you ever see Casablanca?
The thick veil of pain lifted enough for me to eyeball the situation. Rococo, that sleazy weasel, how did he get in here? And what was he doing with that pickle in one hand and my contract in the other? I had no choice.
Nancy and the old butler were frozen with terror. I struggled quietly to my feet and flung myself head first at Rococo's stomach.
Thank you. You saved our life.
This ain't no time for ticker tape parades, baby. Get me out of these ropes and into a good belt of scotch.
Let me hold that contract for you, Mr. Danger.
I'll keep that contract, Catherwood. But you can take this pickle off my hands.
Oh, no, I think you better hold on to that, Nick.
Good thinking, sweetheart. Lieutenant Bradshaw will need all the evidence he can get.
Yes. And you should stick around, too, Danger. You can help him put all the pieces together, you know.
Right.
No. A left.
I felt like I was being kicked in the head by the whole chorus line at Minsky's. So Nancy was in on this caper. I felt myself going under. The biggest long shot Louis and Hialeah wouldn't put a pin on my fate now. This time, something told me I was out for lunch. I even began to hear things.
Keep your nose on the business, Danger. May I take your hand? Wait a second, Danger!
We'll be back to Nick Danger.
All right, hold it right where you are. I'm Lieutenant Bradshaw with a piece of advice for you. Now, here in the studio, it's all knuckles and know-how. But when that red light goes off, I'm just plain Harry Ames, citizen, weekend father. Now, take a tip from a cop who does. Radio work can be just as dirty and exciting as hunting down public enemy number one. So when I get home, my old lady knows what I need and how. A warm, heaping bowl full of Loosener's Castor Oil Flakes with real glycerin vibrofoam. It doesn't just wash your mouth out. It cleans the whole system right on down the line. So come on, you little rookies. Tell your mom to get on it and do it every day. Just remember what the guys down at the precinct house sing.
Oh, it ain't no use if you ain't got the boost you get from Loosener's. Loosener's.
The all-weather breakfast. And now we return you to Act 3 of Nick Danger, Third Eye.
When the crazy escalator ride ended, I fought my way back up to the land of the living. I came to slumped over in the front seat of my own car, lying in a pool of cheap rock gut. I had a head full of ideas that were driving me insane and a mouthful of cotton candy.
You want some more cotton candy, Danger? It might sober you up.
Oh, my head. Bradshaw, baby.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be happy to see your ugly mug.
Save the wisecracks for the warden, Danger. I got you this time, and I got you good.
What are you talking about?
Get out of that car.
Hey, come on.
If you can stand up and keep your hands high, I got you covered.
Hey, what's this all about, Bradshaw? You know I never carry a rod.
Yeah, but it's murder what some people can do with a car, and I got witnesses to prove it.
Keep you away from me.
Take it easy, lady.
I don't know why you're doing this, Nancy, but it doesn't change my feelings about you.
Oh, Nick, you're such a tool.
All right. Take it easy, little lady. All right, now let's get these facts straight. Take this down, Henderson. Okay, Professor, how did it happen?
Well, Sergeant...
Lieutenant.
Yes, Mrs. Farber and I were sitting right here in the living room engaged in a friendly round of spin the pickle, weren't we, dear? Yes, with our good friend, Mr. Rococo. Yes, and then suddenly the door flew open, and this drunken madman right here drove in, honking wildly and headed straight for us.
He's lying, Professor.
Can it, Danger?
The last possible moment, he stopped on a dime.
I see.
Unfortunately, the dime was in Mr. Rococo's pocket.
I'm going to break your neck.
All right. Hold it, Danger. I've heard enough. We'll get the rest of the story down at the station house from you. I've been waiting for this for years.
Wise up, Bradshaw.
Week in and week out.
I didn't do it.
Playing second fiddle while you got all the girls.
Come on.
I'm tired of being Mr. Nice Guy. See, there's going to be some changes made. Next week, the show is going to be called...
Sergeant Bradshaw,
Lieutenant.
District Attorney!
I'm going to have my own theme music, and it's all going to take place in Washington, D.C. No plots, just girls and guys doing nice, simple things up against Nazis and fifth columnists, and no Jewish writers, either.
I saw my chance, and I took
my name
it.
In the paper.
Bradshaw would never listen to my story now. It had more holes in it than Albert Hall. My only way out was...
Catherwood, stop it. I've got Bradshaw's rod pressed against Nancy's tower. Now you spill the beans or I'll blow her brain out.
I think you're bluffing, Flatfoot. No, you weren't bluffing.
All right, talk.
It all began 20 years ago. I was a freshman in college then, although you wouldn't hardly believe it to look at me now. I had just completed work on my science project, and I invited Nancy down to reveal the secret, too.
Well, this is it, Nancy. How do you like it?
So this is where you've been every night since we got
sure
married.
Sure is.
Oh, Nicky, I thought you were...
Danny, but don't say it, Nancy. I know it's been hard, but I wanted to give you the swellest honeymoon a girl had ever had. We're going to Greece.
And swim the English Channel?
No. To ancient Greece, where burning Sappho loved and sang and stroked the wine-dark sea in the temple by the moonlight wa-da-doo-da.
What?
Don't you see, Nancy? I built the perfect time machine.
Oh, it sounds dangerous.
Yes, that's why I'm going to try it out first. Now, when I get into this grandfather clock, you hit me over the head with this bottle of champagne, I hear.
Oh.
Set the dial for 1,000 and put in 3 dimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be gone for 1,000 years.
1,000? Oh, that's longer than anyone's ever been gone before.
To you it will seem only like a minute. Very well, my love. Now, forward into the past!
I hope he gets back before all this dry ice melts. Who's there?
Mrs. Haber?
Who's that?
I'm Rocky Rococo. You may have seen me loitering around the drugstore drinking chocolate malted Vulcans and giving away free high school.
What are you doing here? What do you want?
I'm here for a friend, Mrs. Haber. If you sign a contract, you're supposed to keep up the payment.
Oh, you must be a friend of Nick's.
Yes.
But he couldn't buy this money already. He only gave me the ring last night. I'm wearing it, see?
Yes, that's a very pretty hand you have there.
Ancient Greece. Look at this grape.
Oh. Who are you, old man? What have you done with my husband?
What do you mean, Nancy? I am your husband. Well, who's that ugly dwarf with his hand in your mouth?
Rocky Rococo at your cervix.
All right, Catherwood. I've heard just enough.
What are you talking about? Listen, I'm telling this story, young man. What are you doing in my flashback?
Flashback? What are you talking... Flashback. All right, all of you. You stay right where you are. Put your thumbs on your place in your script while I figure this out.
Okay.
So that was her horrible secret. Poor Nancy, married to a man 1,000 years old. Now I understood why the servants had disappeared. It was Catherwood who killed Rococo to protect his wife, my Betty Jo.
Who is he talking to? How does he make his voice do that?
All right, Bradshaw, there's your confession. I hope you got it all down. Bradshaw? Bradshaw. Oh, that's right. He's not in this flashback. I'll skip ahead a bit. No, I can't skip ahead. All right, everybody. Into the time machine.
No. You don't understand how radio works. Now, this is my flashback. All I have to do to return us to the present is fade my voice out like this and cue the organist. And you see, here we are.
Oh, my goodness.
What's happening? Am I seeing double? There's two of everybody except me.
Pandemonium was breaking out all around me.
Wait a minute.
Who are you?
I was here first. You imposter. Take that.
You keep away from him, you young hussy.
Who are you calling a hussy, you old bag?
Well, how dare you talk to me like that?
Talk to me any way I like.
Oh, what nerve. I'm not you. You're me 20 years ago.
What? You ever look at me and say I'm going to look like that in 20 years?
Oh, yeah?
There ain't room enough in this dress for both of us. Hey, you.
Get your knife.
Well, this is a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, Dad. Glad to have someone my own age to talk to after all these years.
Why don't we sing something?
Well, I've forgotten the key.
Oh, that's all right. I've got a lid out in the car.
David?
Outcast woman, living a life apart. Where did your story begin?
Can you see someone has been crushed here under this car? Oh, my God, it's me. I don't look at all well. I'm dead. I've been killed. Oh, this hasn't happened to me since M.
I need a quick 20 on the whole scene.
I'll
thought that I was the only one going insane. But now we were all in this together. I knew what I had to do. I didn't like it, but that I've never seen before. All right, everybody, take off your...
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this scheduled transmission to bring you an announcement of national importance from the White House in Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen... Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, this morning at 6:25 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, combined elements of the Imperial Japanese Navy and our forces ruthlessly attacked our naval base at Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands. I have conferred this morning with the Congress and the Chiefs of Staff in emergency session. We have reached our rendezvous with destiny. It is our unanimous and irrevocable decision that the United States of America unconditionally surrender. And now my wife and I would like to return with you for the thrilling conclusion of Private Nick Danger, Third Eye.
I've solved another one for you.
Danger, I'll never know how you do it. I was sure I had the goods on you this time.
Well, Bradshaw, it's like in the army, you know. The great prince issues commands, founds states, vests families with fiefs. Inferior people should not be employed.
Nick, I can't knock success. But you still put me through too many changes.
The makers of Loosener's Castor Oil Flakes and Fantastic Cigarettes. Loosener's for the smile of beauty, Fantastic's for the smile of success. And brought you the transcribed adventures of Nick Danger, Third Eye. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, when Nick Danger meets the Arab.
All right, let's do the little...
Rolling.
Yeah, this one. Okay, Phil, you put on the ball tape. We'll go to the other side. Something she said
how
just
much
like
time, how much time have we got?
How yeah. much time we got?
Why don't you say that? Okay, well, that's that.
Yeah.
How much time? Oh, look at the time.
Okay, hey, Cyrus.
We're on now. Yeah. Cyrus, do we
have... Yeah, what do you want?
I'm going
over
to...
the other
I'm
side
gonna,
of the record.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in from
well,
the...
Well, how long does it take to get over the other
okay,
side?
Okay, wait a minute.
Is this
a minute or something?
We haven't got...
Come on,
have you got your ball
oh,
tape?
Right.
Come on, look. Let's just do it.
Has anybody got my script?
Time, Cyrus. Here we go.
Scene 3, take 600.
This is brain damage. No doubt a few of you have noticed that we didn't really start on time. Well, you know, I thought it would be a good idea to take a trip backwards. And since we are all listening to the radio, why not share one of the greatest radio classics of all time? The further adventures of Nick Danger came from the Firesign Theater. And I hope those of you that have never heard it before listen to it this time, because I'm not sure how many more plays that record has in it. It's in pretty sorry shape. And the program is Brain Damage. We are taking phone calls, 632-6901, 632-6500, our auxiliary line. For those that wish to discuss the news of the world, news of their lives, the changes that affect each and every one of us, whether we want them to or not. Today is Sunday, June 7th. Today is the 159th day of 1992. There are 207 days left in 1992. One hundred years ago, on June 7th, 1892, the Republican National Convention began meeting in Minneapolis. In the days that followed, the delegates nominated President Benjamin Harrison for re-election. And Whitelaw Reid for vice president. Whitelaw Reid. Unbelievable. In 1654, Louis XIV was crowned King of France. It was the biggest day of his life. In 1769, according to Kentucky's Historical Society, frontiersman Daniel Boone first began to explore the present-day bluegrass state. And of course, those of you interested in the real present bluegrass state should listen to Back Porch Bluegrass Wednesday nights, but that's another time and place, isn't it? In either 1776 or 1778, I'm not really sure, our teletype machine really is in need of a ribbon change. Richard Henry Lee of Virginia proposed to the Continental Congress a resolution calling for a Declaration of Independence. That would have to be 1776 then, wouldn't it? In 1848... French post-impressionist painter Paul Gauguin, that's how I'll say it, and that's how it's going to be, whether it's correct or not. That guy was born in Paris, all right, big deal. Abraham Lincoln in 1864 was nominated for another term as president at his party's convention in Baltimore, a move he would later live to regret for a few seconds. In 1929, the sovereign state of Vatican City came into existence. And in 1948, the communists completed their takeover of Czechoslovakia. In 1967, 25 years ago. Author-critic Dorothy Parker, famed for her caustic wit, died in New York. 25 years ago. In 1980, a better than 50-1 long shot, Temperance Hill won the Belmont Stakes in New York. In 1981, Israeli military planes destroyed a nuclear power plant in Iraq, a facility the Israelis charged could have been used to make nuclear weapons. And in 1989, 169 people were killed when a Suriname Airways DC-8 crashed in a tropical forest near the Paramaribo Airport. Ten years ago, President Reagan flew to Rome for a six-hour visit that included a meeting with Pope John Paul II, then traveled to London, where he was welcomed by Britain's Queen Elizabeth II. I can remember it like it was yesterday. One year ago, a U.S. District Court judge rejected a request by San Francisco TV station KQED for permission to televise the execution of convicted murderer Robert Alton Harris. The government reported the nation's unemployment rate had worsened to a four-year high of 6.9% in May, up 0.3 percentage point from April. Today, June the 7th, 1992, a Los Angeles city councilman is promising that Police Chief Daryl Gates will pay the price if he doesn't resign as scheduled on June 30th. That's right, Gates says he's going to stay on the job if certain police captains aren't promoted. But the councilman is calling on the police commission to fire Gates if he doesn't step down. Los Angeles community leaders, singers, and musicians have recorded a song. Didn't I predict this? Anyway, they recorded a song that the fund. And why is David Cassidy... Well, never mind. President Bush and British Prime Minister John Major are at Camp David for the weekend. They are talking about the ethnic fighting in the former Yugoslavia, the balance of world power, and the Earth Summit in Brazil. Speaking of which, the United States is becoming increasingly isolated at the Brazil gathering. Officials report that Japan has decided to sign the so-called Biodiversity Treaty, which President Bush strongly opposes. And that's a fairly general view of what's going on in the bigger picture. ...632-6901 is our telephone number. Tell us what's going on with you and how you feel about various things going on. Brazil Earth Summit, why the United States is being looked upon as the bad people once again. People that don't want environmental policies to be passed and causing most of the problems seems as usual. I don't know. Ah, it's 12:46. And we've got a full switchboard, 632-6901, 632-6500, in case you're lucky and you get through. Those are the numbers to try us on. Good morning.
Yes, this is Mr. Quayle.
You're first this time, Mr. Quayle. But you must turn down your radio as you're getting feedback.
I am?
Yes, this is something that you won't get from the American public, but you will get it from your radio.
Uh-huh. Did you see Bush's speech on CNN?
You know, it's interesting. It wasn't a speech so much as a press conference. And the majority of the networks refused to cover the press conference because they saw it as electioneering, I suppose.
No, he wanted to send out his message for Congress to pass the balanced budget amendment. Don't you think that should be passed?
Well,
that would force Congress to have a budget. Do you think that should be passed?
Well, it'd be nice to have a budget. I don't really know enough about it to say one way or the other if it's something that definitely should be passed. I can see positive elements to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know.
The people in the press there, they were talking too much about Ross Perot. I mean, he's just going to fade away.
Well, now, it's interesting you should say that. I happen to hear on the radio today that a nationwide poll shows that, and maybe you could explain this to me, Perot has 37% of the support, and both Bush and Clinton are behind. They're at about 24%. This guy, according to the popularity polls, is going to win. Now, of course, the way our system is set up, the popular vote really doesn't mean anything, and even if he does win the popular vote, he still won't win. Because it will probably go to the House of Representatives or something like that happen, and of course they're going to pick either a Democrat or a Republican.
It's just a protest vote. It's the same thing with...
Yeah, but it's just a protest vote that happens to be the majority, so that's quite a protest vote, isn't it?
No, that's just going to fade away. Just like George Bush and Patrick Buchanan. On New Hampshire, Patrick Buchanan got 37% of the vote.
Right, but he only did it in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and then he started to fade away.
He started to fade away right then, but Perot doesn't seem to be fading, and he hasn't even announced his candidacy yet.
Every single independent candidate has faded away, like John Anderson in 1980. He only got 7% of the vote.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why people want this guy to be president.
Well, why do you think it is?
Because lots of people are stupid, that's why.
Well, okay, I agree with you on that. Lots of people are stupid, but I think that's how we got into our present state. Now...
He's a little dictator. He has absolutely no experience in politics. And
I think a lot of people see that as a good thing.
No, and he says he's an outsider, and yet he hires two insiders who ran campaigns before to run his campaign, one liberal and one conservative.
Who defected, by the way, from both Republican and Democratic camps. A very significant move.
Yeah, he's reached his peak already.
You think so?
Yes. He's going to go down from now on. And on 2020, he was saying bad things about homosexuals.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't agree with the things he said there. He said he wouldn't hire homosexuals for the cabinet post because it could cause trouble of all sorts.
Uh-huh. And the press didn't really make a big thing out of it. You didn't see it on the 6:30 news. You didn't hear anything about it.
Well, I don't watch the 6:30 news, but I heard about it somehow, so it was reported in some way.
If Bush were to say that, then the press would be all over him. Don't you think so?
I would hope so. I'd hope the press would be all over anybody that said something like that.
The press created Ross Perot.
Uh-huh. Well, the press created Bill Clinton, too.
No, they didn't.
To a degree, they did. And they tried to destroy him. The press is behind a lot of things that go on.
After they knew that...
But I think the people created Ross Perot and the press is simply latching on to it.
No, I don't think so. After Bill Clinton was assured the nomination of the Democratic Party, the press knew that George Bush was going to beat Bill Clinton decisively by a landslide, and so they had to create Ross Perot, a candidate. So maybe people will watch their news, because they know that if Bush were to go against Clinton in November, just Bush and Clinton, Bush would win.
Uh-huh. You think Bush is going to debate?
Yes. I think he should just debate with Ross Perot. Because Bill Clinton, he's excess baggage.
So you think Perot is a bigger contender than Clinton?
Yes, I'd rather have Perot than Clinton.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's Bush number one, Bush number one, Perot number two, Clinton number three.
Yes.
Okay, so that's your order. I'd like to know what other people think as far as, the order of magnitude there. Anything else you want to say?
Clinton is a waste of time for Bush because no one's going to vote for him. You can't trust him. He has so many scandals on him. He has a 12-year very close relationship with Jennifer Flowers, as he says. He says he didn't have sex with her. Now, do you believe that?
Well, how is that going to affect the state of the economy or the nation's defense?
No, I think it's going to affect the way he does in November. People are going to think about that and how he cheats on his wife, Slick Hillary, and he smoked pot. And when reporters were asking him the question, he dodged the question like he did the draft.
Well, you know, it would not bother me at all if he smoked pot. I think it would probably be better if he did. But if he stuck a joint in his mouth and didn't do anything with it and let it just evaporate, you know, didn't even inhale, then I think the guy's got serious mental problems.
That's not the point. The point is that he avoided the question and would not answer it.
Well, that's a politician at work. Avoiding questions, that's a skill.
And he says he didn't dodge a draft, and yet he wrote a letter to someone. He says, and I quote, "Thank you for saving me from the draft."
Uh-huh. If he dodged the draft, I think he should be proud of that. He should be proud of the fact that he was able to avoid a big mistake.
Were you part of the hippie crowd in 1969?
Was I? No, I was too young for that.
Oh.
But if I wasn't too young for it, they probably would have been the most pleasant people to hang out with.
He used his state money for his wife's law firm, which is illegal.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes on the Arsenio Hall show and makes a fool out of himself. Do you think he made a fool out of himself?
Well, I didn't see the Arsenio Hall show, but I heard about that.
Oh.
But I think it's good if somebody wants to make a fool of themselves, that they do it nationally and not just locally.
I think the obvious choice is a Bush-Quayle ticket.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does seem pretty obvious.
Do you have today's news day?
Sorry?
Do you have today's news day?
It's around here someplace. Why?
Oh. Well, on one of the pages, they said that Dan Quayle is coming to New York on June 15th.
Oh, goody.
And you know what he's going to do?
He's going to say something in a microphone that will make national headlines.
Kind of. He's going to bash New York for the way it's been run by Mario Cuomo.
Oh, is he going around comparing New York to one of the former Soviet republics or something?
Yeah, that was it.
I can't believe it's part of his own country, for God's sake.
New York is Mario Cuomo's land, and he's doing a terrible job with it. You know why he's attacking New York? Because in 1996, he's going to face Mario Cuomo, most likely. Those are the most likely candidates.
I don't know how many years we're going to speculate on Mario Cuomo running, but he'd better do something already, because, it's getting pretty silly. We went through the same thing with Ted Kennedy years ago, where everybody was saying, oh, he's going to run this year definitely, and he never did.
No one voted for him after he killed that girl.
Well, I don't want to get into all that, but it doesn't seem like Cuomo is interested, so let's just leave it at that.
Uh-huh. You know, last week, why were you making fun of my birth control coupon idea? That's a good idea. I knew you were making fun of it.
I don't know. I guess there was just something evil in the air.
Oh. You know, I'm sick every week after I call a show.
Yeah, me too.
No. I mean, everybody starts yelling about me, and they start saying negative comments about me and George Bush and Dan Quayle. And I'm sick of it. You know, one kid last week, I think you may know who he is. He's a kid from Shirley, and his voice always cracks all the time. You know that kid?
Well, there's something in the air in Shirley, you know?
Yes.
It makes voices crack.
He cursed at me.
Uh-huh.
You immediately hung up on him. Now,
uh-huh.
If he calls again, don't you think that you should hang up on him?
Someone
who curses should not be allowed in the show, right?
Well, we take steps against people like that.
So, you know, if the kid calls whose voice is cracked, then you can hang up on him.
Right, but you see, our little picture phone here isn't working as well as it should. And while, you know, we can see who you are, we can't tell where you're calling from.
Does Star 69 work on your phone?
Everybody knows about that now, right? Star 69, it doesn't work from here, but it does work from many of our listeners' phones. Star 69 will call back the last person that called you, and the beauty of it is you don't even have to have picked up the phone the first time. If somebody just calls you and lets the phone ring a couple of times, and you never pick it up, you can just call them back by dialing Star 69. And it's really a sneaky thing the phone company is doing, because caller ID is supposed to be blockable.
Does it cost any more extra?
Well, it's interesting. It's supposed to cost something when it's introduced, but it has not yet been introduced. Now, what I've been told is that when it gets introduced, those people that have been playing around with it will suddenly get a huge bill for all the times that they used it in the past, which, of course, is completely illegal for them to bill you for something that they haven't told you about.
Uh-huh.
So just be forewarned about that.
Where'd you get that tape from, the beginning of the show?
The Nick Danger.
Well, did you make it? Or?
No, that's a record. That record's been around since the early 70s.
Early 70s?
Yeah, and I realize a lot of people out there have not heard this, and
something
that everybody...
They don't want to hear it
again, huh? Yeah, I could play it right now. No, it's something that... it's kind of a classic here at the radio station.
Are you going to play it again next week?
Well, I can't play the same thing again next week. It's a half hour long.
I thought there was a sequel to it.
No, actually, you know, it says The Further Adventures of Nick Danger, but I think it's the only one of its kind. I don't think there's anything after or before it. If I'm wrong about that, someone please correct me. And if anybody knows that this is on CD, please let me know that, too, because, you know, it's too good to, you know, to let it scratch away like it's doing on this vinyl.
You were in the Geraldo show, weren't you? Come on, just talk about it.
How do I answer a question? Not for a long time I haven't been on Geraldo.
What were you on Geraldo for?
You know, general stuff.
What, about computers?
Stuff like that, yeah. Yeah, computer stuff. Yeah, you got it.
All right.
It wasn't Geraldo. It was the other show.
I just want to say, vote Republican and vote for Dan Quayle in 1996.
Okay. And if he's not running, those votes will be appreciated, too, because that way you won't be voting for anybody important and spoiling it for everybody else. Okay. This is an interesting book I've been handed here, The Role of the Christian Family in the Modern World. Okay, I just opened it up randomly here, and I come to a paragraph. When instead, by means of recourse to periods of infertility, the couple respect the inseparable connection between the unitive and procreative meanings of human sexuality, they are acting as ministers of God's plan, and they benefit from their sexuality according to the original dynamism of total self-giving without manipulation or alteration. Right. Isn't it amazing how, you know, these priests and nuns and everybody are going around telling you the meaning of sex and what you should and shouldn't do and what's right and what isn't right, and it's just so incredible. Fascinated by it. I just can't stop reading about this. Wow. Particularly today, the Christian family has a special vocation to witness to the Paschal, P-A-S-C-H-A-L, Paschal, I don't know what that means, covenant of Christ by constantly radiating the joy of love and the certainty of the hope for which it must give an account. The Christian family loudly proclaims both the present virtues of the kingdom of God and the hope of a blessed life to come. Yes, and it goes on for quite a bit here. Whew. These books are everywhere. You know, I found tracks on a payphone in New York City the other day, just lying there. You know, a way to be saved if I so choose. What else do we have here? The Virginity or Celibacy, by liberating the human heart in a unique way so as to make it burn with greater love for God and all humanity, bears witness that the kingdom of God and his justice is that pearl of great price which is preferred to every other value, no matter how great, and hence must be sought as the only definitive value. It is for this reason that the Church, throughout her history, has always defended the superiority of this charism to that of marriage by reason of the holy singular link which it has with the kingdom of God. In spite of having renounced physical fecundity, the celibate person becomes spiritually fruitful, the father and mother of many, cooperating in the realization of the family according to God's plan. If you want to know more about God's plan, just keep listening. We have a copy. It's like Daryl Gates' plan for controlling unrest in Los Angeles. We've got God's plan here for everything. Dot matrix printout. It's over 100 pages long, too. You'll see the WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 1 o'clock. See who else is out there. Good morning.
Yeah, what's up?
Not a whole lot.
I just want to say.
Okay.
I'm the kid that has the voice that cracks all the time.
Well, if you're the person that did what he said you did last week, you better not do that again, right?
I ain't going to do it. Don't worry.
Okay. Because we don't like that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I don't like that guy. But anyway, I can't help it if I'm going through puberty, all right? I'm 14.
Well, you know, you should hurry up and get on with it.
Well, he's telling me my voice cracks, so that's kind of stupid.
Can you make your voice crack now?
No.
It's not something you have any control over.
No.
But your voice could crack at any moment while you're talking.
Yes.
All right, well, not if you speak in monosyllables like that. You got to speak in sentences.
Well, I don't know what to talk about.
You almost sort of cracked there. Well, okay, why don't you give us the order of presidential candidates? Now, Mr. Quayle said that he thought Bush was number one, and Perot was number two, and Clinton trailed by number three. Now, who do you think is the most popular right now?
Perot.
You think Perot is number one? Who's number two?
Bush.
Uh-huh. So you think Perot's ahead of Bush, and you both agree that Clinton is number three?
Yes.
You think Perot has any chance at all of winning?
I don't know. The electoral vote isn't going to really get him that well.
But what about the popular vote?
That's getting him good, but that doesn't really mean anything.
Do you think it's wrong that the popular vote doesn't mean anything?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I think a lot of people think that. If it
says that the government should be run by the people, for the people, and of the people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how I understood it as well. It's never actually come up before. I mean, it came up maybe about 100 years ago. But we didn't have CNN back then, so nobody really knew about it. But if it comes up now where people vote for one person and somebody else gets in for, you know, reasons that nobody can really figure out, I think that'll lead to a major change in the system.
Yeah, well, another thing about Kennedy.
Which one?
You know, JFK.
Yeah, what about him?
But they're not letting information out until, like, 2038.
Well, the deal was they weren't going to release this information for many years. Then the film JFK came out, and there was a lot of public pressure to release this information. So the government said, okay, well, we'll make sure we release the information. They started to release bits of it, but as soon as they did that, it became very obvious that they were only releasing very small bits of it. For instance, they were releasing one file, about 100 pages or so, and saying this is all they have on the assassination, when in actuality everybody knew there were cabinets filled with papers, and apparently they've been destroyed, because nobody knows where they are.
Yeah, another thing, that magic bullet theory about from the Warren Commission or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That, I think that's kind of stupid. The best part I like about that theory is... where it just hangs like 6.2 seconds or something.
Yeah, yeah, and that does an incredible loop-de-loop and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite a magic bullet there.
Yeah.
You saw the film, I imagine.
Yeah.
Quite a film, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Uh-huh. Okay, listen, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say don't vote for Quayle ever, because I don't think he's ever going to run.
Okay.
And I'll see you later.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye.
632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Hey, Eric.
How you doing?
Fine. With you announcing, like, all these anniversaries and stuff or whatever.
Yeah. Quite enlightening.
What?
Quite enlightening, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you forgot two very important people.
Well, I didn't forget anything because I was reading, but maybe they forgot something and I didn't know about it.
Okay. Well, I guess they maybe left it off because it was yesterday. But yesterday was the 25th anniversary of Jimi Hendrix playing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in England. 4 days after the album came out, he knew how to play everything on it.
Wow.
And yeah. Also, Spider-Man turned 30 yesterday.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Wow, but he can still spin around.
Yeah.
Like no one's business.
He's got the speed and agility of a spider.
That's amazing. And spiders can live for quite some time, too.
Yeah. I don't know. It's amazing, though. It's like when he first got his spider powers, he was like 16, but now he's only like 28.
Wait, how old is he now?
30.
He's 30?
Yeah.
So when was he 28?
He's like 28 in comics now.
Well, wait, if he's 28 in comics now, how could he be 30 now?
Because it was 30 years ago. They made the first Spider-Man comic.
So the comics are wrong today.
Well, what do you want to do? Have a 60-year-old Spider-Man swinging around? Come on.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it would bring in the the senior citizen comic book people.
Well, look at Superman. He was the first comic book ever made, and the guy still looks the same.
Yeah, he does. He does, and it's because he uses all those skin blemish type things.
Yeah, I
anti-wrinkle cream and all that.
Maybe he has he doesn't age or something because of the sun.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, what about, you talking about current news?
Yes.
What do you think about the Elvis stamp deal?
They announced that. Now, wait a minute, I missed this. I wanted them to pick the younger Elvis. Which one did they pick?
Well, your pick was correct.
Oh, good. Now, the fat one I just could not take.
I wanted the fat one.
Why?
Like the fat gravy sweating Elvis.
No, that was when he was a drug informant.
Yeah.
You want a drug informant on a stamp?
What? Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's right. I think you want a young punk on a stamp. I think that's much better for much better message to send to everybody.
I don't know. Well, you know what I think the best stamp would be?
What's that?
If you want to remember Elvis for what he was, why don't you get his autopsy pictures, or his faked autopsy pictures?
There's a thought for you.
We could have like pictures of Elvis lying on a slab of in a mortuary with his picture.
Yeah, this is my prediction. I predict the day will come when you can put whatever you want on a stamp. And as long as it has the right phosphor on it or whatever that the machines read, they don't care whose picture you have on there.
I'll put yours on it.
I'll put mine on it. I'll put my dog's on it. Put anyone's on it. You know, just put pictures on it. And, you know, be done with it. Mm. Why do we all have to use the same kind of stamps? We should be able to use whatever we feel. A stamp should be an expression of our identity, who we are.
Sort of like a painting. It shows what the artist is thinking.
Exactly. Exactly. We can paint our own stamps.
Well, you said you wanted to know what happened in our lives today?
Yeah, what happened in your lives today?
Oh, well, I went to Great Adventure today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Six Flags Great Adventure, right?
Well, do you want to hear the good news or the bad news first?
Let's see. Let me think. Is there about an equal amount of each?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, let's go for the good news first.
Okay, well, I went on like rides and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Bugs Bunny Land because I wanted to meet Bugs.
Uh-huh.
But like I was walking around there for like a half an hour. I was like walking down everything, and I couldn't find him. And so finally I walk out and I'm walking over to a ride and there's Bugs right there.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, Bugs! And he turns to me like I shook Bugs Bunny's hand.
Or paw, whatever.
I guess so. Whatever you want to call it. But I shook Bugs Bunny's hand.
Did he say something to you?
Of course not. He can't talk. That'd be like...
What do you mean he can't talk? He talks all the time.
No, but you got little kids there. They think it's the real Bugs. You don't want to ruin it for them.
But the real Bugs talks.
I know, well...
You know, what's up, Doc? All that?
Yeah, I know.
Well, why didn't you say that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. But then after I shook his hand, guess who I met 2 minutes later?
Elmer Fudd with a shotgun.
No.
What?
Tweety.
Tweety Bird.
Yeah, I met Tweety, too.
I don't like Tweety, okay? And that goes way back. Way back to when I was a kid. I didn't get along with Tweety.
What's the matter? Did a yellow parakeet, like, gouge one of your eyes out or something?
No, you see, that thing is not even a parakeet. It doesn't even look like any creature ever existing in this earth.
I don't know. He's got, like, a small body, but that huge head.
A huge head, right. It looks like some people I know, but not like any bird.
Oh, well, you were on the phone with the caller before.
Wait, that was the bad news? You met Tweety?
What? No, the bad news, I'll tell you in a sec.
Okay. No, this is the intermission. Okay, what's...
While you were talking to the other caller,
uh-huh.
I ran to my room and got my English dictionary.
Okay.
You said you didn't know what that word was, Paschal or whatever?
Yeah, I threw it out, too.
P-A-S-C-H-A-L.
That's it, that's the one. Paschal. How's it pronounced?
Pascal.
So the H really even shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's sort of like...
Pascal is a language. It's a computer language.
Well, it's from Hebrew.
Okay.
Well, it's like...
Throwing Hebrew words at us, the Associated Press.
Yeah. Well, that for the Jewish, that means of Passover. But for the Christians and stuff,
uh-huh.
It means of Easter. Because, like, if you've been to church, you know that big candle they have?
Right.
That's called the Paschal candle.
I see.
So, that's what it means. In case you wanted to know.
Well, okay, now that I know that, there's no limit to the things I can do. Okay.
All right, you want to get the bad news?
Yeah, let's get on to the bad news now.
Okay, it's like, have you ever been to Six Flags?
Six Flags?
Yeah.
Yes, actually a long time ago.
Yeah, well, you know how they have the metal detectors?
No. something new.
What?
I guess that's something new.
I guess so, but like they have metal detectors after like they rip your ticket and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I went through it and like the security guard pulls me aside and like he's like, you set off a metal detector. He's like, do you have any metal things on you? I'm like, well, I have my lighter and my dog tags. He goes, well, give me the lighter. So I gave him the lighter, he puts it in a bucket. And, like, I walk back through, and he goes, no, he's still setting it off. He goes, let me have the tag. So I gave him my tags. He just walked through. I walked back through.
Uh-huh.
He goes, well, it's probably a jacket. Give me a jacket. So I give him my jacket. I walk back through. It doesn't go off. So he goes, okay. He goes, it was the jacket, because it's an army jacket, so it's got, like, a lot of zippers on it and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he goes to hand it back to me, and this lady rips it out of his hand, like, one of the security ladies.
Yeah.
Just, like, rips it out of his hand. She goes, are you going to go through this, or do you want us to go through it? And she yells at me. I'm just like, you go through it. I'm lazy right now. Because like, it's not like I had a handgun or anything in there.
Right.
Like, so she feels up all my pockets. She finds my bubble gum. She finds my sunglasses. She finds my other pack of gum. And, like, she feels the other pockets empty. Then she feels my right breast pocket. She goes, what's in here? I'm like, it's my cigarette case. So she goes, can I open the pocket? I'm like, I guess so, since you're gonna anyway. Like, so she opens up the pocket, she takes it out. And she goes, can I go through this? I'm like, I guess so. All you can find in there are cigarettes. Like, so she opens it and she takes out a cigarette and makes sure I don't have anything in it. I'm just like, it's a cigarette, okay? It's like, so then like she throws my jacket back at me. And she didn't even put it, the stuff back in the pocket. She just throws it at me and like just gives me my cigarette case. She doesn't even put it back for me like you think they would.
Wow. Was the cigarette case what was doing it?
Yeah, it was, because it's metal. So I guess that's what was setting it off.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously you weren't a terrorist or anything.
It's like they got on our tour bus before we even went in. It's like we were getting off the bus at let's see, like around 11 or so.
This happened on a bus?
No, it's like they have a guy come into the bus and tell you what's not allowed to be brought into parks and like the ground rules.
Right.
Like, so they came on the bus and they're like, if you have any metal objects that you think could set off the metal detector, like your keys or something, please leave them on the bus. Like, I'm not going to leave my cigarettes on the bus when I have to go, like, 10 hours without them.
And you shouldn't leave your keys on a bus either. That's pretty silly.
No, I didn't have keys.
Uh-huh.
It's like, and then when I go to walk back out the park, they have, like, all these exit signs up, so I go to walk through and I set off the metal detector again.
Wait, you have to go through a metal detector on the way out?
No, because, like, it says exit only, so I thought that was the exit, so I went to walk out, and there was a metal detector there, because it was also the entrance.
I see.
Like, so I set it off again, and the guy's like, what do you have on you? I'm like, here's my case. I give it to him, and I walk back through, he's like, okay. It's like, and he gives it back to me, I'm like, thank you.
Wow.
It's really fun, but then after that, we're going on this ride. Me and my friend.
There's a whole new meaning to amusement parks here.
Yeah, I know.
I used to have that kind of fun going through airports, but now you can do it anywhere.
I know. It's like Six Flags Great Adventure. They're saying it's better than Disneyland. Like, I was treated better at Disneyland than I was here.
Well, I mean, look, you're going to an amusement park. You're giving them lots of money, right? How much do you think you spent there today?
Well...
Altogether?
Probably around, like, $80.
$80.
Like, transportation there and stuff.
And they treat you like this. I mean, you should definitely find out who that woman was. Definitely find out and report her, because, you know, that's not how you're supposed to treat people. You were treated that way because, you know, you're young and you're looked upon as a potential troublemaker.
I don't know. It's like, I guess she prejudged me.
But the thing that they don't know is that you've got a lot of power. Because you can make a phone call just like anybody else. You can write a letter just like anybody else. And you can make sure this person pays the price for mistreating you. I mean, yeah, you set off a metal detector, but, you know, you followed all their rules. You deserve to be treated with some courtesy. You know, that's all you want, right?
Yeah, it's like I wasn't looking for trouble. I didn't bring a knife in or anything. It was just my cigarette case.
Right. So, you know, I would definitely contact the upper management there and, you know, have some people back you up.
Well, here's the really bad part of the whole
trip. Oh, boy, it gets worse?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so I'm going on this ride, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's called the Enterprise.
Yeah?
Like, it's like a spaceship, and you can... It's not really a spaceship, but it's like... It has, like, all these, like, little sort of spaceships behind each other on this big wheel.
Okay.
And, like, you can fit two people in it, so I went in with my friend. And, like, it starts to go around, it starts to, like, go sideways, and, like, you're parallel to the ground stuff. And it goes up in the air, and, like, you're going upside down and stuff on it.
Uh-huh.
Like, me and my friend are on it, and then we get off, and, like, my friend throws up all over the place.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
It's like I was just like, oh, God. And it was these two good-looking girls behind us, too.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, oh, well. My friend just, like, woof, lets it all loose.
Well, you know, some people find that a turn-on. I can't imagine who, but... I saw that happen once. I forget what amusement park it was, but you know that ride where the floor drops out from under you?
I think that's Great Adventure.
Well, whatever. It's in a few places, but you're spinning around in a circle, and the floor drops out from under you, and everybody stays, you know, riveted to the wall.
Centrifugal force.
Yeah, centrifugal force. Some bizarreness like that. And this one kid, who fortunately was on the other side of me, I saw him, you know.
Green?
All kinds of things coming up there. And unfortunately, the person next to him, who I guess he was there with, was completely unable to move. So he wound up with most of it in his general area. And quite a sight.
That could ruin a trip, great.
It could ruin an entire friendship, really. I think it did, actually, but...
Actually, could use that as blackmail.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, I'll tell everyone to tell me he threw up all over me.
Well, what's the point of going on these rides? Are you going to get sick on them, you know?
I don't know. It's like my friend's like, yeah, I want to go eat. It's like, I'm like, you don't want to eat before you go on a roller coaster. He's like, why? I'm like, because you're going to throw up. It's like, so the kid's got a dry stomach, except he had cotton candy.
Oh, boy.
Like, I guess that's what it was, because it's like, I was like, are you glad you didn't eat now? I was like, you'd be eating again right now. So, it would have been a waste of money if you did eat.
Yeah, that's true. I had a bad experience once on a whale-watching expedition. In fact,
I went on the entire boat,
because apparently there was something with the water that day. It was extremely choppy in a way to get people sick. So imagine, if you will, a boat filled with people, about 200 people, all leaning over the deck at the same time and you know, just sort of spilling their waste into the ocean.
Well, didn't
and we didn't even see any whales either. It was a complete waste, the whole thing.
Didn't they take any Dramamine or anything?
Well, nobody thought about that at that particular time. And, of course, after a certain point, it's too late.
Well, you're supposed to take an hour before you get on a boat anyway.
Yeah, well, nobody really did that because no one expected any trouble, but it just sort of came upon us suddenly.
Well, you're going out in the Atlantic Ocean. It's not exactly going to be a lagoon.
Uh-huh. Well, like, you know, we're land people. We didn't know any better.
I don't know. I went on it. It's like I didn't want to take Jeremy, but my parents made me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw this one little girl, though. It's like our father's, like, holding her out over the edge. She's like, whoosh.
Yeah.
It's like,
you got to be careful of the wind too. I've learned that, you know, because depending on wind direction, you know, you can really sock it to some people way down on the other side.
You don't want to stand downwind from anyone who gets seasick.
No, it's almost impossible to do that though, and there's 200 people getting sick at the same time.
Oh, okay.
I can't imagine how we got into this discussion, but it's, you know, it's something I really don't want to get into too much more.
Starting to get out of hand.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Getting our listeners sick.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll let you go now, then.
Okay, well, good luck on your future amusement endeavors.
Okay, I'll try to call the park.
All right, stay out of trouble.
All right, bye.
All these people wielding cigarette cases trying to sneak into our nation's amusement parks. You know, what's the world coming to? All right, 119, and weather. Oh, yeah, we got some weather tonight. 17 degrees Celsius, of course, a 63 on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting dense fog tonight. That's right, dense fog. Low around 60. It'll be a nice, light south wind. And tomorrow, I don't know what exactly this means, low clouds and fog in the morning. Okay, there'll be some low clouds down on the ground and fog. If you can tell the difference between a low cloud and a fog, you know, a piece of fog, then you're a better person than me. After all that, it's going to become partly sunny, warm, and humid, with a 30% chance of afternoon and evening thunderstorms. You know, it's never 35% or 25%. It's always round numbers. You know, and you wonder. I wonder how accurate this really is. Anyway, high tomorrow will be in the mid-80s across the central part of the island with mid-70s along the shore. It's just getting to that point where it's becoming uncomfortable. We want to be someplace else. Sunday night, partly cloudy and mild, low 60 to 65. Monday, mostly sunny and warm. Less humid, highs in the mid-80s. Again, 16 Celsius. That's actually, it just went down a degree. 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. All right, it's 20 after 1. Good morning, you're on Brain Damage.
How's it going,
Ash? It's going okay.
Yeah, the guy called. I think you should file a complaint about that woman.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the type of woman that makes you wish you did have a gun.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, we don't want people bringing guns to amusement parks, but after hearing a story like that, I don't know.
Yeah. Are you following the Amy Fisher case?
You know, that Amy Fisher case is everywhere. Front page of Newsday, what, for like 4 or 5 days in a row now?
And that's kind of a stupid question. How could you not?
How could you not follow? Right, it's everywhere, you know, and, well, do you have any insight on that, that perhaps hasn't been reported?
Well, not really, but I don't know. It seems like a pretty interesting case.
It's, you know, it's interesting. Another one of these fatal attraction businesses.
Do you think that guy Joseph Buttrico really called Howard Stern?
Well, that was in today's Newsday that he called Howard Stern, and actually, since his lawyer says he did, since he says he did, since Howard Stern says he did, I think it's pretty likely that he did. What's interesting, though, is he got Amy Fisher denying that she was having, that she shot this person, his wife. Then he's denying that she was having an affair with him, So one wonders, well, how did this whole thing come about in the first place? She didn't shoot his wife. He wasn't having an affair with her. So how did this happen in the first place?
I think it had something to do with the prostitution ring, personally, but I really don't know what.
The Long Island prostitution ring, something that nobody knew about before. But apparently there's this prostitution ring, call services, and all that kind of thing. Actually, what was the name of that service?
I don't remember. It was in the paper today. I was just reading it like an hour ago. I can't remember.
Okay, hang on. We've got this.
Wurzelberg is the name of the woman who ran it. I remember that.
Yeah, Lorraine Wurzelberg. The ABBA Escort Service. ABBA.
Yeah, that's it.
Hang on a second, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's call information here and see if people still exist.
Telephone Alexandria. May I help you?
Yes, hello. I'm looking for the number for an escort service known as ABBA, A-B-B-A. It's in Nassau County. I think it's in Nassau County.
And my computer, I only have it listed out of Queens. It says Grand Avenue, Baldwin, Queens with a Queens number.
Okay, that's good enough. Thank you.
The number is area code 718-470.
And I'm sure you can guess the last four digits. We're not giving out numbers for escort services here on the air, but they are still there.
No, it says in the same article, if you read it, says that she says she's legitimate now. It doesn't even exist anymore.
Wait, she's legitimate and it doesn't exist? How can that be?
Well, no, she closed down the... She was, like, the madam, I suppose, or the whoever ran it. And she, like, closed down the business because she had to pay $250 in fines. So she said she learned her lesson. She went legitimate and closed down the place.
Uh-huh. So why is it still listed in the phone book?
I have no idea, but do you think an escort service would really list a number in the phone book?
Well, this one did.
Well, are you sure it's the same place?
Yeah, in the same place. That's exactly what the address was in the newspaper.
Well, thanks for cutting out the last one numbers.
Well, anybody can call and find out the number. I mean, it's not restricted to us.
I'll be doing this as I hang up.
Yeah, okay, well, let us know how you make out.
Yeah, what do you think? I read in the paper that they're trying to cast the movie for it already.
Already?
Yeah, that like almost every major movie company is called Eric Nyberg, the lawyer.
I guess the book is about done by now.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, who do you think would be good in the parts of, like, the main people?
Oh, gosh, let's see. Who would be good? Jennifer Flowers, I understand, has an opening. Yeah. And, there are a couple. Who is that preacher woman?
Oh, I have no idea who you're talking about.
You know, what was it? Not Pat Robinson. Jim Baker's.
Oh, Jessica Hahn.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was on Dream On tonight.
Yeah, she'd be perfect. Jessica Hahn would be perfect.
Yeah, Lita Jenrette, Jennifer Flowers, and Jessica Hahn were all played reporters on Dream On tonight.
Oh, boy.
Sex Scandal, and they played, like, reporters.
You ever get the feeling that maybe some of these people are just out for the spotlight?
Yep.
You know, it's just when they start appearing on TV and getting acting jobs and things like that, you have to wonder that they weren't just standing up as, you know, good citizens, perhaps. Maybe they were out for something for themselves. It's just a thought.
Yeah, there's this whole story I read in, like, two magazines, I think People and Entertainment Weekly, saying that when Jessica Hahn met Jennifer Flowers, Jennifer Flowers asked, how could I get a job on Married with Children or something like that?
Uh-huh.
She's like, you don't hand out business cards with pictures of lips on it, because she handed out, like, a business card with, like, lips on it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole story, but something like that.
Well, it's a way to get attention, I guess.
My picks for the cast are Winona Ryder as Amy Fisher, either Gene Hackman or Dan Aykroyd as the guy, and Glenn Close as the woman, because she did such a good job in Reversal of Fortune.
Yeah, Glenn Close is good.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
All right, so I'll let you know next week how I make out with the escort service.
Okay, have fun.
All right, yeah, talk to you later.
All right, bye. Oh, boy, escort services, what next? 632-6901, area code 516, and 632-6500 is our bump over line for those people that don't dial too fast. Good morning, you're on.
Hi, Eric. I love your show.
Thank you.
I want to tell you a story about something that happened in my school that's quite interesting.
What school is that?
Federich High School.
Okay.
All right. We're in the cafeteria, and there's a big fight with two 11th graders. This kid, Andy Finori.
Wait. Don't give out the last names here.
Okay.
All right, no last names.
Okay. And they're in a fight.
Yeah.
And a math teacher, right? I won't give out his name, but he gets in the way, and one of the kids, this is called Big Fatso, punches the math teacher in the mouth, and the math teacher chips his tooth, and his lip's bleeding.
Uh-huh.
All right. So anyway, he, from what I hear, he goes down to the nurse and he won't file an incident report on it. So his job is in jeopardy now because he won't file an incident report. So
his job is in jeopardy because he won't file an incident report.
If he doesn't want to go on record because he had troubles in the past with getting hurt, and he's been notified from what I hear that he shouldn't step in the way anymore, that he should let someone else have it because he's not in the best of health.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of interesting because the guy's, I think, making a big mistake not following the incident report.
Well, I mean, obviously there's an incident that happened, so it does make sense. And if you're not going to follow through with something, why get involved in the first place?
Exactly.
That does, maybe there's not, we're not hearing the whole story here.
I know.
Is there more to this, do you think?
Could be. Conspiracy, I don't know.
Well, why would he not file an incident report after stepping in the way of a fight?
I don't know, but he won't, because I was at the nurse after that when I saw him walk in, and the nurse told him to go and go file an incident report, and he denied to do it. And she told him the job could be in jeopardy if because the higher offices in the school and in the Middle Country School District will be notified if you don't file an injury report.
Uh huh. And what about the people that got in the fight? What's happening with them?
Oh, they got suspended for a week.
Uh huh. Now, what would happen with an incident report? How would that work?
You'd have to file and write the people's names that are in it and exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And then it gets you have to check the records of the kids and. If in his record to see what if anything has happened in the past, like, of the kind, and I'm not really sure where it goes from there.
Uh-huh, but, I mean, what could happen to them? They're already being suspended. What more can happen?
Well, if he has a severe injury, he could press charges, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
You're good with the law, aren't you?
Well, not really. I'm good at staying one step ahead of it, but that's about it.
I don't know what really could happen, but...
Well, you know, I think I could sort of see his point. I mean, you know, he stepped in to stop a fight, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that he got, I mean, I don't know if they hit him intentionally or was it something premeditated or was it something that just happened in the heat of the moment?
Well, he got in the middle of it, which he shouldn't have.
Right, well, that's the kind of thing that happens when you get in the middle of a fight.
Like a robbery.
Maybe he sort of understands that that's what happens and he doesn't want to make things any worse.
I personally... can't stand the guy because he's my math teacher.
Uh-huh. Well, that's how you feel about your math teacher, right? You know.
A couple people gave me a standing ovation the kid I did it because everyone can't stand this guy.
Well, okay, that tells you something about school these days.
All right. I got some casting for the Amy Fisher case.
Yeah.
All right. How about as Amy Fisher? Sybil Shepherd. Sybil Shepherd.
Moonlighting.
Yeah.
That could be good.
All right. As the guy,
is she young enough, though? Can she play, you know, what is it, 17 years old?
I don't know.
That's going to be, a tough role to fill.
Younger? How about Drew Barrymore?
Well, we'll have to see.
All right. As the guy, how about Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, Jack Nicholson would be, but you see, Jack Nicholson is too menacing. I don't think this guy is menacing enough. I mean, he's supposed to be innocent, for one thing. That's how he's portraying himself.
I don't think... You think he's innocent?
Well, wait, you think he's the one that shot his wife?
I think he had it set up.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, then he really blew it then, if that's the case.
I think he probably had it set up and then double-crossed Amy Fisher, actually.
So, he has his wife shot and then double-crosses the person that's going to do it, and his wife isn't even shot in the first place, you know, seriously.
That the media doesn't know about it.
Yeah, well, it's not the way of living your life in trust and harmony, is it?
No. It's not.
Wow.
And how about the woman his wife?
Yeah.
Diane Keaton.
Diane Keaton. Now, that's a good choice. I like Diane Keaton.
Yeah, I think it is. Can I say hi to some people?
Go ahead.
I want to say hi to Valerie. Kevin and Little Bobby.
You sure you want to say hello to him?
Little Bobby.
Okay.
Bobby had an accident.
Did he?
Yes, he got hurt and is in an ambulance.
Uh-huh.
And the ambulance got hit by a car.
Oh, boy.
Now he needs like a kidney transplant or something like that. He's in the hospital.
Because of the ambulance accident?
Yeah, and he's suing the ambulance. So it's all pray for little Bobby.
Yeah, okay. That's quite a story there.
Yeah.
All right, a lot of activity going on in your life, huh?
Yeah, pretty active week.
Yeah, what grade are you in?
Me, I'm the ninth.
You only in ninth grade?
Yeah.
Wow, you got three big grades to go yet, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of action, I'll bet.
Tell me about it.
Okay. Well, I hope you make it through safely.
Yep, thanks.
All right, take care.
Do teleconferences next week.
Maybe I will.
All right.
632-6901, 632-6500. Teleconferences, yeah, that's where we tie everybody together. Kind of kinky, I guess, but there's a demand for that kind of thing. And, I don't know, hopefully we can do that next week if I'm around. But we'll try to do that at least once a month. All right. See who else is out there. Good morning.
Hello, this is Rich.
Hi, Rich.
All right, I want to talk about the environmental summit.
Yeah, good. I'm glad somebody wants to talk about that.
All right. The world is so messed up, right?
Right.
The ozone layer is there. There's none. The world is melting for the greenhouse effect.
Uh-huh. Our planet is dying.
Why are we concentrating on Earth? Why don't we put some more money into the space program, try to have some colonies on Mars or the moon? We can live there when this world gets blown to hell. We have a safe haven to go to.
Well, now, you see, I agree with some of what you say. I agree that we should be exploring space and spending a lot of money on space instead of on learning how to destroy ourselves. And that is ultimately our salvation, because eventually, one way or another, this world is going to wear itself out, and if we don't spread ourselves around the galaxy, we're going to disappear as well. So it is important. The universe is infinite, so it's kind of silly for us not to want to explore it. But as far as saying, well, you know, this world is doomed, that sort of implies that you don't want to try any more on this world. And, you know, that's very easy to do. A lot of people will say, yeah, okay, so we can just keep polluting it, and we'll have another place to go, and that's not right either.
I know. You know how we're going to have to make Mars suitable for us? We're going to have to do exactly what we did here. We're going to have to show the greenhouse effect.
Uh-huh.
Well, warm it up.
Yeah, that, it's weird, because Venus already has had a greenhouse effect.
And that's so messed up Venus is.
Right. maybe we've already done this. Maybe we started out on Venus, we wound up here, and now we're going to go to Mars next.
And mess up Mars?
Well, we can't mess up Mars, because we sure as hell cannot go to Jupiter.
We'll get crushed or something.
Yeah, we'll get crushed, because it's too heavy there, and there's actually no solid surface. Did you know that? It's all gas.
Big gas bubbles.
Yeah, you can't live like that. You just can't live like that.
The United States isn't exactly being too cooperative at this summit.
No, we're looking very bad, with...
India themselves.
It's embarrassing. It really is. Yeah, you know, we should spend more money than other countries, I think, because we contribute more to the problem than other countries. We're very industrialized. We have a lot of people. But the most important thing is we can afford it. We really can. If we take some of this, defense money that we no longer need and use it to save the world, after all, isn't that what defense is all about, saving the world? So we use it, you know, to fight AIDS and to fight global warming and all the stuff that's going on with destruction of the planet. It seems at least as important as keeping communists out of Berlin.
This is what the United States is saying. Fine, we'll help save the planet as long as it doesn't interfere with our industry. And that's wrong.
Right, of course. I mean, the planet has to come before anyone's industry.
And it's like, all right, fine, we'll help save the planet, but we don't want our industry messed up. Like, isn't it our industry is messing up the whole entire world?
It's playing a key part. It really is.
Changing,
and we are changing. I mean, look around you. I'll bet you recycle now.
Yeah, I guess. We have to recycle.
Yeah, you have to recycle. What do you get, one of these little red cans or something?
An orange can and a green bucket for newspapers.
So you live in what, St. James or something?
No, St. James.
You do?
Yeah.
See, I'm able to tell where you live by what color your bucket is.
That's a talent.
It's pretty incredible. Everybody has these little buckets, whatever color it is, and they have to recycle their papers and their glass and their cans. A couple of years ago, we never would have done this. We never would have thought it was possible, but... You know, because we've got environmentally minded people representing us on the local level and, some other levels as well, and because we realize what the problems are, we've been able to change our lifestyle and become used to it. And it is making a difference. It really is. Think of all we've saved so far. But it's got to go deeper than that, and we've got to get the other people that have refused to go along with these changes to do this, because we can't succeed if they don't.
Oh, one of those people who is refusing to go along is... George Bush.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Against this. He was forced to go to the summit.
Yeah, he did not want to go to the summit, and he does not want to make environmental issues, you know, a number one policy.
Yeah, it's like right in election year, though. That's because he didn't want to go.
Election year, which means we've got a chance to say something to show that we don't believe in that kind of representation.
Do you think that's going to be a big part in the election, the environment?
It should be. It hasn't been enough yet. It has not been enough, and it really should be number one, I think, more than anything else.
You were talking about Cuomo?
Yeah.
Well, he messed up New York State so bad, I'd like to see what he's going to do with the whole entire nation.
Well, he messed up New York State, but what did he have to work with?
Well, nothing really.
Yeah, I mean, the federal government ultimately bears responsibility, because that's where most of the money comes from in the first place. And if they are responsible for all these budget cuts, all these, you know, social programming cuts, I don't see how you can blame Cuomo for everything. I mean, you've got to put most of the blame, I think, on the federal people.
Hey, George Bush.
And Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's where this all came from.
But do you think it's Reagan's fault when the economy so messed up?
Well, he did a lot of damage.
Hey, he's doing the Star Wars thing.
Uh-huh.
That wasted so much money, and what happened to Star Wars?
What's so crazy is that ultimately, in the books of history, they'll get credit for ending the communist threat. In fact, that's what Bush said on his press conference a couple of days ago. You know, that's what he and Reagan deserve credit for, is ending this. And, of course, they don't deserve any credit at all. It's completely the people of the Eastern Bloc and the Soviet Union that rose up and made the change. They did it.
They,
you know,
it wasn't
our nuclear weapons aimed at them. It wasn't our threats and our, you know, anything that we, our strong-arm tactics, wasn't any of that. It was them standing in front of tanks and holding hands across countries and things like that.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and also it was the restraint of the people in power realizing that they did not stand a chance against this, and not, you know, not doing the China thing where they decide, okay, well, let's just oppress the people for another half a century and see how things go then, you know, and in 50 years we'll deal with another revolt. At least they didn't go that route. They could have. So we owe them credit, too.
Back to this environmental thing.
Uh-huh.
How drastically your lifestyle would change if you had to wipe out everything that would hurt the environment?
It would change pretty drastically. That's why you do it step by step, but you got to take big steps, you know?
People, like, stop using cars because methane messes up the ozone.
Well, you simply make cars that are... I mean, look, we have more fuel-efficient cars than we had 20 years ago.
It
we have cars now that get 50 miles to the gallon.
It still hurts the environment, those 50 miles.
It does, but it hurts it less.
Oh.
We have more carpooling now. I mean, you know, we take big steps, and we encourage people to take big steps. People don't buy American cars because they pollute more, they get worse gas mileage, and they're not as dependable. It's a fact. You know, and it's something that that American industry has to listen to and has to adjust itself to, or, you know, it's not going to survive.
You know what the actual goal?
It shouldn't survive if it's not going to adjust.
You know what the actual goal of this conference is? Is to stop these ozone and greenhouse effects. They can't be reversed.
Uh-huh.
They can't go back to how it was like 100 years ago.
Well, it takes a long time. Eventually, it can go back.
Beyond hope. I say we go into space and just explore and all that.
Well, I'm all for that, but I think we should also fix this world.
It's kind of messed up, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. But maybe that's what we need to get us to realize how fragile it is.
It's a pretty fragile place. But you can't have us messing around with it.
No. Do you blame... how old are you?
I'm 14.
14. Do you blame the older people for this?
Not really.
Yeah?
I mean, it's awful. It's everybody's fault.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, 20 years ago, you couldn't have saw this coming.
You couldn't have?
No, there's no way you could have saw this coming.
I think a lot of people saw this coming, but they weren't listened to. A lot of the environmentalists of the late 60s and 70s, they were warning about this kind of thing for a long time.
Well, they saw it. I don't know how they saw it, but they probably saw it coming.
See, what I think we need, we really need, and this sounds nasty, but you got to be nasty sometimes. We need more militant environmentalists. We really do. We need people chaining themselves to bulldozers. Hey, we need people blowing up bulldozers, I think, because they're out there destroying the land, and the land cannot fight back. And we've had it. We've had enough of this. They don't listen to us. We have corrupt politicians in Brookhaven that take money from developers and simply give them permits to do whatever they want, rape the land, destroy wildlife left and right. Look what they've done to it. And it's you know, if we don't do something about it, it's just going to keep going on. They may forget about it this time, and they may just start doing it again. You know, someone's got to say enough already, and either you vote the people out of office and vote people in that will do something, or you take direct action. It's the only way.
Yeah, but civilization wouldn't have gotten as far now if we didn't use the land.
Mm-hmm.
Like coal comes from the land, oil comes from the land.
Of course, but you use the land, but you also preserve the land. You don't simply build on every single square foot around like they do on Long Island. Long Island has an international reputation of being nothing but one big long parking lot. And it really does. You tell somebody in Europe you're from Long Island, and that's how they remember it. That's how they know it. They know it as the garbage barge. You know, people think Long Island is a garbage barge.
We're not garbage.
No, we're not. There's a lot of good parts of Long Island left, but there's also a lot of people that want to destroy that. And, oh, they say they want to develop it. They want to, you know, build a condominium complex or another strip shopping mall.
You mean empty stores you see around?
Right, exactly, and that's my point. They have these strip shopping malls. They don't have any tenants to fill them. They make their profit building these buildings, and then people lose their life savings by opening up a store, and then nobody comes to it, and they go out of business.
Chop down trees just to get that.
Right, so who is benefiting from this? Only one person or one group of people, the people that sell the land. And land, I really have a problem selling land, because land is something that we should be entrusted to save and preserve. It's...
Big, huge company is the only one who's gaining from this.
Uh-huh.
Gaining a big profit off of that.
Uh-huh.
You see pictures from like 20, 30 years ago. Long Island, there's so many trees. Now you see like big shopping centers.
Try 10 years ago. 10 years ago, going down the, highways around here, things look drastically different. And, you don't realize until you see the land cleared out and more ugly buildings rising up, that you don't realize that there were trees there. All of a sudden it's like, wow, there was a forest here, and now there's some stupid office building that no one's going to use.
And sure, you think Long Island's getting too urbanized?
I think it's gotten too urbanized.
Yeah, then you can't stop this, though. How are you going to stop Long Island getting urbanized?
How are you going to stop it? You're going to stop it. You're going to say enough already. We don't need any more of this. We need our... Because, look, once you destroy all the trees on Long Island, it's not like you can move a couple of miles east, because you can only go so far. It's an island. Then you hit the ocean, you can't go any further. So whenever you destroy trees, they're gone. And there's nothing to fall back on.
Well, you can move to another state.
Move to another state, yeah, but that's not the solution. I mean, that's like going to another planet, but I don't think that's the answer. I think you got to work in your backyard
Hang off the problem.
Sorry?
Hang off the problem. So you move to another state. That state gets too urbanized. You move to another one. So what are you doing?
Yeah, but you see, that doesn't do anything. That's like, people leaving the city because there's too much crime. Well, it doesn't improve the city, and it also doesn't improve the suburbs. Mm-hmm. You gotta stay, and you gotta make things right. Running away doesn't solve any problems.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll let you go now.
Okay, thanks.
Can I say hi to a couple people?
I'm sorry?
Can I say hi to a couple people?
Sure, go ahead.
Can I say hi to Tim, and Tom?
Okay.
All right, thanks. Live long and prosper.
All right, you too. 632-6901, 632-6500. The environment is the most important thing. I'm convinced of that. Because without the environment, we're really pretty screwed, aren't we? I mean, we don't have anything to fall back on. You need oxygen to survive. You need ozone layers to survive. You need some kind of environmental control. You need wildlife. Years ago, there were all kinds of creatures everywhere, that are just gone now, completely gone. You might say, okay, we don't need this forest. Well, you might not need a forest, but there's all kinds of birds, raccoons, squirrels, and other forms of life. And you might say, oh, squirrels and raccoons, that's all very nice, but it doesn't really serve me. The whole fragile system at work, it's a system of balances and counterbalances and things like that. You take away one bit of it, and everything is sort of thrown out of balance. And once that happens, it affects everybody in the food scale and everybody on all levels at some point. And then you got to ask yourself, well, who are we to completely destroy things? I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking, what if all the animals did the same thing? What if that group of trees next door to you was suddenly destroyed by a pack of dogs that decided to set up camp there, Imagine how horrible that would be. If every animal had its own agenda and they all went out and destroyed land to do their own thing. Well, we're the only creatures that really destroy land and don't give anything back to it except pollution. So, yeah, you can do something. You can make sure people don't continue to represent you if they don't represent you. One way or the other, you've got to make a change. Okay, it's 14 minutes to 2 o'clock. The program is Brain Damage, something we're all going to be getting a lot of if we don't change things. And our phone number is 632-6901 and 632-6500. And we only have a few minutes left, so I guess we should continue moving on the line. Good morning.
Hi, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, about that Amy Fisher case?
Yeah, you're not the same Amy, are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's good. That's a relief.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to say to her.
No, but I heard that, how they have the phone number in Queens. I read in the paper today that the service is really in Nassau County, but that madam lady got the phone number for Queens, so they wouldn't be able, they wouldn't think that it was the same escort service.
Oh, that was clever of her, wasn't it?
Yeah, because, like, Baldwin is in Nassau County.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's sort of on the border, though, isn't it?
No, it's in Nassau County. And they had, like, an interview with a prostitute in the news day today.
Uh-huh.
She was saying how she got a number for Queens with an area code for Queens, and she hooked it up to the escort service in Baldwin in Nassau County.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that just shows you the kind of conniving that's going on out there. You know, people actually getting Queens numbers when they're in Nassau County.
Yeah, and she was also convicted for a prostitution ring a couple years ago.
Uh-huh. Well, do you think prostitution should be illegal?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that's really the problem here.
Yeah, no, not at all. I don't think that has really anything to do with it.
Now, shooting people, that's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think the other stuff should really be, you know, shouldn't be, like, evidence or anything.
Uh-huh.
Just because she, like, prostitutes herself doesn't mean she kills somebody.
That's true. That is true. You know, it might lower your opinion of somebody, but it doesn't mean they're capable of murder.
Exactly. It's like morality, you know. You can't really judge somebody on your own morality.
But that is what they are doing in the newspapers and on TV. They're using this as evidence of some sort, but the real evidence, of course, is completely different.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, anything else on your mind tonight?
Actually, you know what I did today?
What's that?
I took my SATs.
Really? Oh, today was SAT day, huh?
Yep.
Wow, that's always lots of fun. What do? You sit in this huge room with a couple hundred other people?
No, actually, I was in a classroom with only like 20 other people.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of fun.
Was it? You think you did good?
No, I don't think so. Oh, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Vocabulary and math, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, do you remember any of the words they asked you?
Arbitrary, they asked us.
Yeah, and what were the choices?
I don't remember. Uh-huh. My brain hurts. I feel like I've been thinking too much.
Uh-huh. Well, it's dangerous to think too much.
I know, I think it is.
Yeah, you gotta recuperate now.
Definitely.
Watch some TV, that's always good for that.
Hey, I've been watching, Channel 61 while I was waiting for so long to get through, and I saw a paid advertisement for the Hair Club for Men.
Uh-huh.
Half hour long.
Wow.
And I was forced to watch it.
That's the facts about minoxidil, right?
I don't know. I had it on mute.
that's how everybody should have it, actually.
You can watch them swing and ride bicycles.
Is Gene Scott on yet?
What?
Dr. Gene Scott, is he on yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, you've seen him, I imagine.
No, I don't know who that is.
He's the preacher guy that has all the horses. You never saw him?
No.
Oh, he's this gray-haired preacher guy, and he's got a horse farm out in California, and he just spends all his time asking for money and showing his horses trotting around.
Did you ever see that Oriental guy, that the real estate billionaire?
I've seen him, yes.
That Tommy guy, that's a good one.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one.
Oh, there's some classics out there. There are some.
Definitely, like the Psychic Friends.
Right.
Good.
Right, and they're raking it in like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I know. Definitely.
I don't know why we can't rake it in during marathon time like that, but maybe we should get a preacher or something.
You should have Dionne Warwick on.
Dionne Warwick, yeah. Let's get some horses. That's a good idea. We can't show horses on the radio, though.
That's true.
But then maybe that makes it easier to get them. We can only have one horse or something.
Make a sound. Have the horses make a sound if they're there.
Bring a horse into the studio. We brought dogs into the studio, but I don't know about a horse.
Oh, really? When?
Dog. Oh, we've had a dog or two in here sometimes. Yeah.
Wow. So what did you do today?
Today, what did I do? You know, okay, today I learned something. I learned something about American technology today.
Oh, yeah?
I learned it doesn't work. I've been trying real hard to buy a telephone, right?
Uh-huh.
A telephone that does something very, very simple, that simply lights up when somebody else is using the extension. But do I get that? Oh, no. I get a phone that flashes sometimes when somebody picks up the extension. Sometimes it doesn't because it's got a toggle switch, and sometimes the toggle switch is set for one thing and sometimes it's set to another. It's completely arbitrary. So then I go to the mall and wander around. I go to Radio Shack. I ask them if they have such a thing. They've never even heard of that. And they're Radio Shack, for God's sake. They don't know how to make a phone that has a light that goes on when you pick up an extension. And they say, no, they don't have such a thing. They have a device that'll make a light flash when the phone is ringing, but then when you pick it up, the light goes out. What good is that? So then I go to Sears and I buy a phone that supposedly has a button like that, except it only lights up when the phone rings, and when you pick it up, the light goes off too. So I'm back at square one. I have two phones that don't work that I paid money for, and I've been spending all day in malls.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the kind of life I've been leading. I have a good mind to buy something made in Taiwan. There, I've said it. I just very well might do that.
Yeah.
So, as you can see, things have not been entirely great.
Yeah.
Anyone you want to say hi to?
Yeah, I want to say hi to Danielle, and I want Amy to call. Another Amy, not me.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Yeah, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah, don't tell anybody, but... Wait,
don't tell anybody. You're on the radio. What do you mean, don't tell anybody?
That's all right, but you know that Amy Fisher?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm the one who gave her the plans to shoot her wife.
Ah.
So, I don't know. I guess I messed up somewhere along the ways.
Well, yeah, you certainly did. I mean, I don't know how exactly you conveyed this information. Do you think there was a misunderstanding or something?
I don't know.
Well, were these face-to-face instructions, or did you use a messenger or some kind of telegram service or something?
Messenger service, actually.
Yeah, you don't want to get involved in that kind of thing, because you know how it is. You ever play, like, the rumor game?
No.
Where you tell somebody something, then they tell the next person next to them, and it goes around in a circle and gets back to you, and it's completely different than what you started out with?
Yep.
Well, these messenger services, what they do is... they pass things on to other messenger services. And you may think that because you're using one messenger service that they're the ones that are going to deliver the message. But they're not. Sometimes it goes through 14 or 15 different messenger services before you get the message back. It's horrible. And by the time you get it back, it's not anything like what you sent out in the first place. So I'm surprised that anything happened.
Yeah. Well, anyway, did you see Nightline yesterday?
No.
All right, actually, it was about the L.A. riots.
Again?
Again.
Okay, well, what do they have to say about it now?
All they did was, like, interview these lowlifes in South Central Africa.
South Central Africa?
Yeah.
You mean Los Angeles?
Yeah. And all they did was ask them, you know, like, if the four guys who beat that truck driver up, if they get convicted, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, everyone says, oh, you know, there's going to be another riot. And, you know, it's out of hand.
Well, that's Ted Koppel wanting there to be another reaction to something. I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to say those guys should get off. Nobody in their right mind. It's just like nobody in their right mind would say that the people with the Central Park joggers should get off. And they didn't, and there wasn't any trouble. Because people realize that, you know, when you do something crazy like that, you should pay the price for it.
I mean, it's like the media.
People black and white realize that, okay?
No, it's so sickening, you know?
What do you think of Daryl Gates refusing to resign now?
I don't know. He seems all right to me.
Did you see him on Nightline a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I saw that. And Alfred E. Newman was trying to rip him apart.
Well, I think he did a good job ripping himself apart. I mean, he came across very abrasive, very stubborn, and not willing to really give anything as far as an explanation as to why things went the way they did.
I mean, you know, everyone's saying, you know, he was so slow to react that the police should have went in there, you know, quicker. But if they did that, you know, they probably would have killed, like, even more people.
Well, probably, but what Gates said was that it was wrong for them to back off, and that he blamed it all on that lieutenant that said, let's get out of this neighborhood.
Yeah.
He said that lieutenant shouldn't have done that, and, you know, ultimately he's the one that is responsible for everything that goes on. He didn't want to take responsibility for that. When the whole thing started, he went over to the rich neighborhood to hang out with people, and he completely went away from the whole thing for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an outrage.
Yeah, another thing.
Yeah?
How come the press hates Bush? I mean, you know, it's pretty sad when the president can't, you know, he calls for a conference. You know, people ask him questions, and, you know, they don't give him any airtime. But
well,
if it was Perot, you know, no problem.
No, I don't think that's true. I think if Perot had a press conference, I don't think, unless it was to announce his candidacy, I don't think anybody would interrupt primetime programming to do it.
They would show up if it was if it was like Magic Johnson or one of those bozos.
Look, they wouldn't interrupt primetime programming for a press conference unless it was for some national issue that was not the election. Because when they do that, they've got to offer equal time to everybody else. And, you know, it cuts into their profits. That's really what it boils down to. It cuts into their profits because, you know, their hit shows don't get shown. They don't show their commercials. If it's an important news event, they'll break into it. But the president has an advantage because he's the president, and he can get more media attention very quickly.
And the media has created Perot. Uh-huh. I mean, Perot says what he'll spend like $100 million on his campaign.
Yeah,
guy hasn't spent dime one, and you know he's on the cover of Time. And you know, I don't know.
Well, it's certainly interesting. And the poll I heard today said 37% for Perot, 24 for Bush, 24 for Clinton. National poll. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going.
But then Newsweek had one also, and they only had Perot at, I think, 35%. Bush was 33%. So.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's still ahead, you know? That's the weird thing. There must be a lot of disenchantment out there if you know, the people in charge are consistently falling behind people that don't even have political experience.
Yeah,
you got to listen to that message.
We'll make the right choice.
All right, well, we'll see what choice they make. Thanks for calling. Let's see if we can squeeze in one or two more phone calls. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
This is Chris from Patchogue.
Hi, Chris.
I was, like, listening before how you were talking about the environment going to be a big issue in the election.
Yeah.
I also think that I think that's going to be a big issue, but not probably one of the top. I think against Bush, one of the top things is going to be the unemployment right now.
Uh-huh.
Because it's, like, the highest in, like, the past 8 years or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was 8 years. It's the highest level.
Like 7.5%, something like that, which I think is a lot.
Uh-huh. In New York City, I think it's over 10%, and I've also heard that of black Americans in New York City, I believe the figure is over 50%, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of figures that they don't really report all that much, but they're the ones that will make a difference for sure.
Do you agree what Clinton said about Bush and this employment deal?
What exactly did he say?
All that. It's like Bush's fault, and his job is like to create jobs, and he's like not doing it, and millions of Americans are suffering from like the consequences and stuff.
Well, obviously, Bush is the person to blame for something like this because he's in charge. He is the president, so you have to blame the person in charge. I'm sure there's a lot of factors at work here, and it's, you know, it's kind of hard to get a handle on it, but ultimately he has to take responsibility for it, and I'm sure he would take the credit for it if it was going the other way. So since it's not going the other way, he has to take the blame.
Yeah, and do you agree with, like, the United States not being in this Earth Summit thing, like what the reasons are? Do you, like, agree with that?
No, I don't agree with, I don't understand it, to be honest. I don't understand why we've isolated ourselves so much. We should be at the forefront of saving the Earth, and this is making us look extremely bad in front of everybody else. But maybe that's what we need, is to look extremely bad. You know, the American people have to wake up and say to the elected officials that they're not representing us here, that we want to be in the forefront of saving the environment. You know, it's something that is paramount. We have to do this. There's no choice.
Mm. Cool.
All right. Thanks for calling. Let's get one more call, and then we're off the air. Good morning.
Holy thing.
Good morning.
There. What's up?
How you doing?
Oh, are you off the air?
Not yet. You're the last person.
Okay. I just wanted to mention one quick thing. There's a law that just came out about people who use over $10,000 to buy, like, a trip or something like that.
Uh-huh.
At a travel agency. And the federal government, in its war on drugs, is trying to make sure that everyone who buys, unless they use a personal check for that kind of amount, for $10,000, then they you have to put, a travel agent has to then put in a whole IRS form on the person, and also has to act as a spy, basically, for the federal government.
Really? People at travel agencies have to do this? This is a law?
Yeah, this is a new law that just came in. I'm reading an editorial from Travel Weekly, and agents are required to report suspicious activity. This is what the editorial says. A vague term that forces them to make a judgment call. Let's see. This other one. Okay. Besides the fact that you have to tell them that that they're required to file an IRS report for this kind of amount of money. Not too many people have. The only way you can get around the law is with a personal check, and not too many people have like a $10,000 personal, you know.
No, it's
and write that kind of a personal check.
It's kind of difficult, but they're really putting the onus on the. People that are just trying to make an honest buck here.
Exactly. And the idea behind this is that any kind of client that that really is trying to launder their money for drugs or whatever probably can get around this so many other ways. You know, it's like once they've decided to break the law, they'll probably find other ways of getting around this law.
Right, so the real criminals will always find a way around it, and the people that will be hurt are the ones that are just trying to make an honest living, right?
And
same
and
old
this
thing.
This is the same kind of tactics, you know, having to a business person having to spy on their client or act as a spy those kinds of tactics are the same kind of thing that, you know, made the Eastern Bloc countries so horrible to live in, and
right.
Yet people just seem like they're going to sit around and take this. It's like, ridiculous.
Well, let's hope that some people wake up. We're out of time now, unfortunately, so we have to go, but thanks for letting us know.
Complain to your congressman about Form 8300. That's the name of this form, the IRS form. For this, and you know, just
Form
I don't know,
A300, or call the IRS and get a copy of Form A300 and see for yourself what they're doing.
Yeah,
that sounds like fun too. But yeah, definitely complain to George or whoever, and see that something is done. Your voice can be heard. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
All right.
Later.
And that's our show for tonight. We're out of time. I think we'll be back next week, and maybe we'll do a teleconference then. Stay tuned.